Well, Labor's likely win in the Queensland state election has sent tremors through the Turnbull government. The Nationals have stepped up their calls for a stronger voice against their Liberal colleagues. This follows a disastrous 8% swing against the LNP, almost all of which went to One Nation. But the Prime Minister is downplaying federal implications, Malcolm Turnbull insisting the election was won and lost on state issues.
Australians are very smart in the way they go about voting. They know the difference between a state election and a federal election. They know the difference between state issues and federal issues. And that was a state election fought on state issues by competing state leaders.
Malcolm Turnbull, who was campaigning in Bennelong yesterday, where the upcoming by-election will be a major test for his government. Back in Canberra, meanwhile, Shadow Cabinet will meet today. Bill Shorten has called his front benches to Parliament, despite the cancellation of this week's sitting of the lower house. Bill Shorten joins us in our Parliament House studios. Bill Shorten, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
The Prime Minister says the Queensland election was fought overwhelmingly on state issues. You're blaming the LNP vote collapse on the Turnbull government. Don't you give Queensland voters any credit when it comes to telling the difference between state and federal issues?
Oh, no, let's be really accurate here. I've yesterday congratulated Anastasia Palaszczuk. Her and her state Labor team ran an excellent election. And much of the Queensland election was to do with state politics and state issues.
Well, you said the Liberals and Nationals are suffering from one end of Australia to the other as a result of the Turnbull government.
Oh, that's true too. The point about it is that if Mr. Turnbull thinks that there is no federal implications at all for him or his government, then he is living in la-la land. He just doesn't get it. There are issues, not just in Queensland, but across Australia, which I think Australians are increasingly frustrated about the federal government, not the least of which is, of course, the failure to hold a banking royal commission.
There's implications for both major parties, aren't there, in this result? I mean, if you look at the result, more than 30% of the voters turned away from the major parties. Around one-third of Queensland voters supported One Nation, the Greens or Independents, and Labor's doing not much better than the Coalition in stopping that bleeding, is it?
I think there are implications for federal politics
and parties
generally. But first of all, for the government, you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of George Christensen. He's a coalition MP who's directly said there's problems with the Turnbull government and the impact on regional Queensland.
I'm asking you what you think are the implications.
Well, first of all, I think that there are some to do with the Turnbull government and there are broader implications as well. Just turning very briefly to the Turnbull government. Queensland LNP members said yesterday that they want to hold this banking royal commission. They feel that that's a demonstration that the government, the national government's out of touch. In the last week of the lead up to the state election, you had Christopher Pyne and Julie Bishop calling for informal investigations of their cabinet colleagues. This all has an impact. The broader question that you were going to as well, though, is that there is frustration with the major parties by voters. Now, I'm not the government, I'm the opposition. But what we are doing is that by the next election, we will have positive policies which we will put forward to the people. And I hope that redeems some of the confidence which people are looking for in the major parties. That's what we're doing. We don't want to win the next election just because we're not Mr. Turnbull and his disunited team. We want to win because we've got good policies which Australians say speak to their lives. Policies including standing up for penalty rates and bringing the banks to heel.
Well, let's look at the minor parties that are taking votes away from the major parties. On your side of politics, it's clear the Greens did very well in Brisbane. They may pick up one seat. In fact, in Queensland, the Greens pushed Deputy Premier Jackie Trad all the way in her seat of South Brisbane. Just last week, Labor was smashed by the Greens in the Northcote by-election in Melbourne, a seat Labor's held for more than a century. If the LNP has a problem with One Nation, Labor certainly has a problem with the Greens, don't you?
There's no doubt that Labor wants to get more votes from people in the inner city as well as elsewhere. But having said that, the Queensland election, Anastasia Palaszczuk has won the election. And if you look at our opposition, we're working on policies which go towards the lives which people are living. Our reforms to negative gearing will put housing affordability back in the range of our first home buyers. Our proposals to reverse unfair penalty rate cuts will do something about lifting the minimum wages of millions of Australians. Our proposals not to go ahead with millionaire tax cuts demonstrate that we're in touch with what ordinary Australians want. And again, I have to say, if the Turnbull government is in denial and says that there's nothing to learn from the Queensland election, then I think that shows you all that's wrong. I mean, this government, Mr. Turnbull and his and his ministers seem to spend so much time denying there's a problem, they don't have any time to learn the lessons.
Do you look at lessons there in the One Nation vote? It didn't get the seats it was boasting it would. It won't be the power player it was boasting it would be. But it did get double-digit support in some seats. It got 13% across the state, but in some seats, closer, over 20%. I wonder what you make of their performance in Queensland. Do you think there's only a lesson there for the coalition, or are you concerned about Labor's more conservative blue-collar vote, which has gone to One Nation in the past?
Well, I think Labor's principal position, both nationally and in Queensland, of putting One Nation last, demonstrated that we're willing to fight an election on our values. We're not trying to have a bet each way. I think in the bush, the Liberals project as being out of touch. And again, that's what the Nationals are saying. In Queensland, the Nationals are looking at how they can deconstruct their coalition with the Liberals. And in the city, I think a lot of Liberal voters are very uneasy that the Liberals, both at the national and the state level, are willing to do deals with Pauline Hanson's One Nation political party.
Okay. The you mentioned a Royal Commission into the banks, or a commission inquiry into the banks a few times. LNP Senator Barry O'Sullivan is pushing on with his private member's bill for just that, a commission of inquiry. If that bill is passed, how would you interpret that? Will you make a mountain out of that? Will you try and get people to see it as a vote of no confidence in the Turnbull government?
I think what really matters here is not the Turnbull government. It matters about trying to reform our banking sector and deal with the pathology which exists within the big banks. We will work seriously and constructively with anyone, and that includes Senator O'Sullivan, who wants to see reform in the banking sector. I mean, the truth of the matter is that too many farmers have had their loans foreclosed by banks with harsh lending practices. Too many small businesses have been treated unfairly.
Well, just on that front, the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, is now working on a compensation scheme for past victims of banking misconduct, so-called legacy cases. He says that would be a speedier form of restitution than any kind of royal commission.
Fran, how many breakfast shows have we done in the course of the last year and a half where the government's got a new plan to try and reform the banks? They seem to want to do everything except a royal commission. I don't know why they're so keen to run a protection racket for the banks. Now, a compensation process is one which we will look at constructively, but that's no guarantee of stopping the problems in the future. If you want to stop the problems in the future, you've got to understand and stop the misconduct in the past. And a royal commission has the powers to be able to look behind the corporate veil to make sure that we can genuinely reform the banking sector in this country. I mean, you and I both know that a compensation tribunal is just another attempt by the government to avoid having a royal commission. Why is Mr. Turnbull so determined to protect his friends in the banks? And I want to say to Australians listening to the show that no matter how determined Mr. Turnbull is to stop a commission of inquiry, to stop a banking royal commission, I promise you that I'm even more determined to make sure that ordinary Australians have a voice in the reform of banking, which is delivered through a royal commission.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 7:45. Our guest is Opposition Leader Bill Shorten. Bill Shorten, the House of Reps isn't sitting this week. What are you even doing in Canberra?
Well, first of all, I think it is a complete joke that a Prime Minister of Australia has such little respect for Parliament that he cancels it. We've got our regular shadow cabinet meeting and we're going to go ahead with that. Malcolm Turnbull's not the boss of the Labor Party. But more concerning than that is that 12 million other Australians have got up this morning, Fran, and gone to work.
Well, and I'm sure Malcolm Turnbull's at work somewhere.
Yeah, but let's face it, if you've got a Prime Minister who doesn't like Parliament, that's like a fish who doesn't like water.
The reason the PM cancelled the reps this week is so the Senate can get on with the same-sex marriage debate. Some in the coalition are now demanding more religious protections to be included in the Dean Smith bill, which forms the basis of the same-sex marriage legislation. Will Labor support any of the amendments around schools, around parental rights, the notion of no detriment clauses?
Listen, I think Australians have had enough delay on marriage equality. We had a survey that we didn't need to have. We spent well over $100 million we didn't need to. But we've had the survey and it's come back with a yes result. And so I think any tactics by the right wing of Mr. Turnbull's party to delay marriage equality would be viewed upon very disfavourably by the vast bulk of the Australian people.
So and what does that mean? You're prepared to not accept any amendments? Or?
Well, first of all, let's just deal, you know, you and I both know these are the delaying tactics. And if these issues were such big issues, why didn't people raise them before?
Well,
secondly,
they did raise them before. They did raise them during the debate. Look at John Howard took out full-page ads on them.
Well, first of all, the Smith bill, which will be co-sponsored across the political spectrum, is the subject of the work of a joint parliamentary committee, a joint Senate committee. So this bill is a consensus bill. In terms of the actual substance of the concerns that some of the people are putting up, I just wanted to say on religious freedom, we don't have a religious freedom crisis in this country. Parents still have the right to choose. This is as simple as the change can be. This is about allowing gay Australians to be able to get married, and it's as simple as that, and that's what we need to get on and vote for. The other thing, though, is that Mr. Turnbull uses as an excuse for the House of Reps not to have its scheduled sittings this week because he says marriage equality is the only issue. It's not. There's plenty of other issues which should have been dealt with this week. I mean, it is incredible that you've got a Prime Minister of Australia who finds Parliament too hard.
Can I just ask you, finally, there's a very damning expose of celebrity TV gardener Don Burke in Fairfax and on the ABC today. Don Burke is accused of sexual harassment by many, many women who worked with him and worked on his program before it was axed in 2004. Burke's backyard was on air for 17 years. It's now clear that some of these women took their complaints to their bosses, to their executives. Do we have a problem in this country when it takes this many years and the outing of a Hollywood producer for these allegations to come out?
Yes, we do. First of all, to the victims of this sexual harassment, coming forward cannot have been easy, so they are to be congratulated. It is sickening stuff. It is shocking stuff. Millions of Australians have watched this show on television, and I think they will be shocked by these revelations. I wonder if Australians thought when you had the Harvey Weinstein scandals emerge in Hollywood, did we think we were immune? Perhaps we hoped we were, but clearly we are not.
But it turns out it was kind of an open secret. Everyone knew about it. No one liked it. A lot of people, top executives, calling him a grub and a disgrace. But he was allowed to keep on with his show.
Well, I think it is shocking. And what you call an open secret, I don't think most Australians did know about this. And if it turns out that within the media industry, people were happy to accept the dollars and the ratings and turn a blind eye to the completely wrong and horrendous practices, well, that's to the shame of the industry.
Bill Shorten, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Opposition Leader Bill Shorten joining us in our Parliament House studios. It's 11 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.